Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Water by God Podcast. Okay, Water by God Podcast. Hey, we feeling good today. Y'all, God is so good. Excuse my scratchy voice, y'all. I'm still getting over allergies and sickness and everything else that the enemy has been trying to throw my way. But guess what? Guess what? The Lord is raising up a standard against the enemy, so I'm not even mad at it. I ain't mad about it. Okay. Y'all, I have a word for y'all today. I am so excited. Oh, y'all. Also, let me tell y'all how the devil decided to work. So, if the sound sounds different, it's because I had to get rid of my microphone. I'm not getting rid of it yet. I just don't have time to play around with it today because time is not on our side. Well, it is, but still, I don't have time to fool with this and find out what's wrong with it. My old microphone that I was using. So I was like, thank God that I just happened to have these little mini microphone pros on me. And I was like, Lord, we're gonna have to make it do what it do, but I'm gonna have to buy another microphone. And for a second, I thought I was gonna have to buy another camera because my camera was like trying to glitch out on me. But y'all, God is good, and God said, no, boo, I'm gonna take care of it. And He did just that, and He's making a way. So the devil tried it, but it did not work. It did not work. But y'all, we got a word on today. Guess what? The title. Can y'all tell I'm full of joy, y'all? I've been in my word. I've been in my bag. I've been trying to hear the voice of the Lord. And I love it because He is speaking, y'all. And so I pray today that y'all hear what He has been speaking to me because it's been good to me. So I know it's gonna be good to y'all. And we're going on this journey, this process together, trying to encourage together, to strengthen each other together. But the title of this message today is, y'all ready? Love. It's not love. It's not just love. Hold on, let me get to it. Let me land that plane, okay? Love that flows to your enemies. Y'all. Oh, y'all not ready. It's in my belly. It is right here in my belly, coming up to my throat, coming up to my tongue. Like, I am excited. Do you hear me? I am excited for this word. This is going to be a good word because it blessed me so good. The Lord is still speaking to me about, like, when I tell y'all, He was tying in different scriptures here and there, like, ooh, add this, add this, add this, add this. I'm like, okay, Father, like, I'm getting all of it. I'm adding, I'm writing, we're journaling. Let's do it, y'all. When I tell y'all, my notes is crazy for this, I'm talking about like 4 pages deep. So let's get into it. Love that flows to your enemies. And we're going to be coming from multiple scriptures, like I said, but I've never been like, I'm always excited to spread the word, but I've never been like excited like this. Like this hit different. Okay. Like the ball is in our court today. Like make it do what it do. We have the hands. God, okay, God is really doing it today. So, but we're going to start with Psalms 23, and I know I was doing like a little series of the Lord is my shepherd. So we're going back to that, not necessarily like that series, but we're going to basically finish it because that end, okay, boo, that end, it eats so bad. We have to get into it. We have to make sure that God is like expressing everything that He has for us, everything He's trying to do for us, but everything that is already done. Okay, I don't even know if that just makes sense, but let's get into it. We don't gotta do all that talking. We don't gotta do all that talking. I hope y'all have been well. I hope y'all have had what it's today is Wednesday. I hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving, a great holidays. I know I did. Spent time with my family, enjoy my family. Family always matters. My grandma say family is family. Family is family. So whatever family looks like for you, it may be friends, you may not have actual bloodline, but you still got bloodline in the things of Jesus. Okay, come on somebody. So I'm your sister in Christ. If you ain't got no family, we family, we locked in for life. But I pray y'all had a good I pray y'all had a good holidays, okay? And I pray that as we celebrate, you know, Christmas and everything, that's coming up too. You know, God is faithful. God is going to be good to you. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Today is a new day, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your peace, your love, your happiness, everything that you have to give to offer to us on today. Father, you are good and your mercies are forever. And Lord God, our praise will be hallelujah on today. Father, I pray that you outstretch your hands over your people on today. Let them hear this word. Let them grasp it. Father, we bind the assignment and the schemes of the enemy, Father, that comes to steal their and distract them, that comes to steal their understanding, comes to steal their discernment. Father, Lord God, pour your flow, allow your oil to flow, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, that the discernment will be there, the understanding will be there. Your word says to seek wisdom. And Father, we are doing just that. But Father, use me as you see fit. Lord God, use my mouth as you see fit. Hide me behind the cross. Hide my tongue. Lord God, this is your tongue, your words, Father. My tongue, your words, Father. My heart, your love, Father. I want you to be shown, Lord God, in the midst, Lord God, and open their ears and their hearts to receive, Father. Let them hear, though they have ears, let them hear everything, Lord God, and not miss or misunderstand or misinterpret anything, Father. We bind all distractions in each room, wherever their atmosphere is. Let them hear, whether they're in their car, Father. Give them, Lord God, power from on high on today, God, that the joy of the Lord is their strength, Father. And we thank you, Father. Help us to love our enemies. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's get into it, y'all. So we're going to start Psalms 23. We're going to start at, and this is, so I'm going to be reading from my Bible and from like my phone, but both of them is the new, one is the International Version, New International Version. The other one is the New Century Version. No, I'm kidding. They're both in New International Version. I forgot I changed the one on my phone to New International Version also. So that's the version I'm going to be coming from. But we're going to start at verse 5. Chapter 23, verse 5. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But what we are going to be focusing on today is really both verses 5 and 6. But I want to zoom in on the table that is placed in front of your enemies, and surely your goodness and love will follow me. I want to strictly focus on those two things, but also we're going to throw in the, everything is going to get thrown in there at some point. But y'all, the reason why the title of this message is love that flows to your enemies is because I don't remember if it was like this week or last week. I want to say it was last week, but also coming into this week, the Lord has really been dealing with me about loving enemies. And like, enemies is not sometimes just like, oh, like I hate this person or I dislike this person or this person treats me so bad. No, it could be somebody as simple as that you don't even know is your enemy. Like, they have things in their heart that you don't even know of. Like, they've been along your side this whole time, but they've just been keeping it low key. They've just been keeping it swept under the rug. Okay, so that can be enemy too. Like, not an enemy in your heart, but in their heart, they're your enemy because they, you know, despise everything you do. But the Lord wants us to really zoom in on that, and he just showed me the heart of Jesus. Like, he's just been showing me the heart of Jesus and how to respond and how to act and how we're supposed to dwell in his presence even around our enemies. And we're going to focus on why he places that table in front of our enemies. And if y'all see me looking, y'all know how I get down with these notes. But when I was writing, he just spoke to me and he said, don't be so quick to remove yourself from enemies. So I'm going to tell y'all, don't be so quick to remove yourself from enemies. You have to find comfort in being around your enemies, because how can God prepare a table if you're uncomfortable at your own table? Let's get into it. Let's talk about it, y'all. We're here. We're going. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So it lets us know, because there's so many ways that we can go with this scripture. Like, we can go with that scripture so many ways. All the time you hear, oh, like, basically God's going to bless you in front of your enemies. And that's one way to put it. And that's going to be another lesson for another day, because, child, we can run it just off of that. What type of table it look like? How long we going to wait for the table? Us being patient for the table? Like, we can run it off of that. But we're going to go on the hard part, okay? Because this is a message that I know we don't want to hear, having to love our enemies. But we're going to talk about why actually God says your enemies are at your table. Your enemies, your table is in the presence of your enemies. That's not to brag or to boast. And a lot of times we get it confused, but we're going to talk about why. Why are your enemies having to see you at your table? Better yet, come on, enemies. Come on in the room, enemies. Okay, because you have to learn to love your enemies just like Jesus loved Judas. But I'm getting ahead of myself, and we're going to get there. So you have to find comfort in being around your enemies, because how can God prepare a table if you're uncomfortable at your own table? We know that God's saying he's going to prepare a table, but he's letting us know the setting. He's letting you know that the setting of that table is in the presence of your enemies. And a lot of times we try to make our own table in many different places. Some of us want that table in the mountaintop, on high. Some of us want that table in the valley when God is calling us to come on up. Can't nobody see you down there. But some of us, like I said, we're so high, we think we're just above our enemies. We think we're just, you know, too high and mighty to be in the same atmosphere of our enemies, to be in the same room of our enemies. Our enemy may step in a room, whether that's a manager, whether that's an old relationship, whether that's an old friend, whether that's family member. They step in the room, we trying to figure out why they in the same room as us. We trying to figure out, oh, where can I go? I can't be in the same. They bring bad energy. They just, every time they come around me, I just feel a certain way. Well, that is a heart posture that we have to fix, y'all. That is us, because God is saying, I'm preparing a table so good for you. I need your enemy to be there. I need them to see what I'm doing in your life, because I want the love that I have for you to rub off on them. I need the love that I'm showing you, says the Lord, to rub off on them so they can feel that same love, so they can see the process of everything that had to happen in your presence, for them to be in your presence, to see the finishing product, what it finally looks like in the end. I need them to see that. But if you're trying to place your own table above, high and mighty, above everyone else, can't nobody see you up there. It's lonely up there, and you're going to have to come back down, because those that place themselves high are going to have to be humbled, and those that stay humble are going to be placed high. But it's always going to be for the glory of God and not for ourselves. So how can you sit at the table that God is calling you to sit at in front of your enemies if you are running from your enemies? Don't run from your enemies, y'all. Be comfortable in the presence of your enemies and pray to God that he changes your heart. That's a prayer that we all have to say daily. Change your heart so that you can be in the presence of your enemies, so that every time you go on that job, they don't bother you. The people on your job don't bother you. The people in your home don't bother you. The people at the restaurant don't bother you. The people at your favorite shopping center don't bother you. The people at the hospital don't bother you. Every time you see that ex, it doesn't bother you. You can hug and love on that ex. I mean, granted, some of us can't do that, okay? Because, you know, things happen and you may not have that friendship, but that don't mean hate your ex, okay? They're ex for a reason, but because you either learn something or, you know, it exposes things. And, you know, some people do come back, some people don't. But you can't hate. You can't have hate and talk down on somebody because God took them out. God exposed them for a reason, or God exposed the other person, or God allowed separation to happen for a reason. But that doesn't mean that you have hate in your heart. That's not what that is for. Because God is trying to allow a table to be placed before the presence of your enemies, for people to see the change that God has done in your life. Okay, so sometimes that table has nothing to do with materialistic things, but your enemies can be saved through your table. That is the main pure reason why he places a table. Let's think about it, okay? I'm getting ahead of myself, but why does Jesus allow Judas to sit at the same table as him? So Judas could be saved. And Judas went on his own way. Judas went his own route, but Jesus still said, you know what, Judas? I know that you're going to betray me in the end, but I'm going to let you encounter what real love looks like. So maybe one day you will understand. And we have to be the same way. So it has nothing to do. Sometimes it does have a lot to do with like materialistic things. Rarely. I feel like, yes, God does bless us for us to be happy and for us to like reveal or show the manifestation of what he has done. But that is not to brag or boast. That is for God to get the glory out of everything. And so it is for people to sit at the table of joy and peace. Do you know that when that table, that presence, sometimes that table has nothing to do, like I said, with, oh, that house, that car, that job, the money, the opportunity, the business. Where it's not always talking about that table. Sometimes that table has a lot to do with the table of peace, the table of joy, the table of restoration, that your enemy can come to your table if they want to and say, you know what? I need that same joy. I need that same peace. I see God is giving you something so great in your life that I can see from a distance, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. We have to welcome. It sucks, but we have to welcome. Welcome the very people. That is why the Bible says to pray for those that persecute you. Pray for those that persecute you. That is for a reason. That is not to just be said, but that is to show the love of Christ, to say, you know what? I welcome you to this table of peace. And a lot of times we say, oh, the enemy is messing up my peace, but that's because we allow the enemy to. We should be rubbing off on the enemy. We should be rubbing off on those that hate us. We should be rubbing off on them to make them think and wonder like, wow, what am I doing? Y'all ever seen like the movies or those love stories or like, I was raised up on Disney, so I love Disney, but I remember, let me get my words together, Lord. I remember seeing movies where, I can't remember what movie it is, but like you had a bad girl and a good girl, and the bad girl was probably beefing with the good girl the whole time over a dude. And then finally towards the end, like, I don't know what movie this was, but the girl gave her crown, the bad girl, her crown. Y'all help me out if y'all know what movie I'm talking about. But the good girl gave the bad girl her crown, basically saying, here, boo, you can have it. You did all that hustling and tussling for it. You can have it. And the bad girl looked at her like, oh, wow, like, you have such a good heart. How, like, why are you sharing with me? I treated you wrong this whole time, but it's genuinely because in real life, our timing, our ways, this generation, God is trying to help us to show our enemies, this is what real love looks like. This is what real peace looks like. You don't bother me. Your presence does not bother me because there's a standard that is lifted. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. There's a standard that is lifted that you don't have to worry about your enemies. You don't have to worry about those that persecute you. You don't have to worry about those that backstab you. You don't have to worry about those that talk about you behind your back. You don't have to worry about those that stop loving you. You don't have to worry about that. Your job is to continue to love them, to continue to be faithful to the true and one person that cares about you, that loves you for eternity. Show that same love to them because they need it. They need it. You have your source, but they don't have theirs. So if God has to use you as a source to get to the real source, then so be it. Be used. Why me? Why not you? Why not you? Why not you? It's you to spread the word. It's you when it comes to getting the house. It's you when it comes to getting the car. It's you when it comes to being able to go to school and graduate. It's you when it comes to being that doctor, that lawyer, that teacher. It's you when it comes to being that engineer. Why can't it be you to suffer, to long suffer? Why can't it be you to have to go through trials and tribulations in the presence of your enemies? Why can't it be you to have to share the table with your enemies so that they can feel the rest and the joy and the peace that God has given you? It can't just be us, y'all, for the good and not the bad. Because we have to know what both feel like. We have to know the measurement of both to be able to help other people. It's not just the good that helps people, but it's the bad that we go through that they can see, wow, if you went through it and this is what the good looks like on the other side of the land,
if we were able to get on the boat, go across where the storm was and make it out on the other side, then this is what it looks like to serve God fully and for God to get the glory. So when you eat at the table, it will cause even your enemies to want to eat. It should cause your enemies to want to eat at the same table. Granted, some people are jealous, some people are envious, but it is not your job to worry about that. Your job is to allow God to be shown, allow God's light and God's glory to be shown, that it literally grabs the attention of those that are seeking God but don't really want God, but they're seeking God, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, they act like it, but they go through so many things mentally and physically and emotionally that they can't really get to God. Why not be that person to help them? Why be the person to hate them? Why be the person to bash them? Help them. You call yourself a Christian. We call ourselves Christians. I call myself a Christian. I'm not excused. I have to do the same thing. Help them get to God. If we love everyone like we say we do, if we love God, we love his people, that has no person, like no specific type of person, people to it. That's everybody, even the enemies. So Jesus sat around enemies for a reason. Don't dismiss what God hasn't yet dissed. Jesus. Don't dismiss what God haven't yet dissed. If God ain't dissed them, you can't diss them neither. Let's take a second to think about that. If God is trying to, do y'all realize we're all trying to pray? We're all trying to get somewhere. Your enemy is probably, granted, not everybody believes in God like they say they do, but your enemy is expecting something just like you are. Judas was expecting a handful of cash. Okay, he was expecting God to show up financially. Your enemy is expecting something financially. Your enemy is expecting something spiritually. Your enemy is expecting something physically. They may not have that same relationship with God. They may not have a relationship with God at all. But the moral of the story is, don't dismiss what God haven't dissed. God is helping them as well, because his mercies are new every morning for everybody. His salvation is for everyone. Jesus died on a cross for your enemies. We got to share Jesus with everybody, not just who we want to share him with. So if Jesus hasn't dissed him, he died for them, we can't diss him. He died so that we couldn't diss him, because he didn't diss us when we was in our mess, when we was in our confusion. So don't dismiss what God hasn't dissed. Don't give up on what God hasn't gave up on either. You can't treat them like that because they treated you like that. You just can't. You're not excused. He prepared a table before Judas just to show God's love is unchangeable. Just to show Judas, I'm going to make sure you understand that even though I know, let's get to the scripture, y'all. Let's go there, because I'm ready to take it there now. I'm ready to take it there. So, John chapter 13, we're going to read a lot, but it's only for the understanding, y'all. And this is not really the part where Jesus broke bread, but it does like kind of include, y'all are going to see. So it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You got to love the people around you to the end. You got to love your enemies to the end. You don't love the people around you until they hurt you. You don't love the people around you until they switch up, change on you, until they betray you. You love them to the end, because Christ is loving you to the end. So we got to love them to the end. You don't love your manager until you quit that job. No, you keep going. You don't talk about them. Love, okay, it continues. Love never ends. That's Bible. So if love never ends, just because you quit that job, just because you got the relationship, your love still has to be there for that person. Love never ends. And if love ends, then love was never there. Love was never there. Maybe lust, maybe attention seeking, maybe all these different things, but it wasn't love. Love never ends. Love never gives up. Love never holds wrongdoings. So we have to check our hearts and say, okay, let me have the love of Christ so I can love correctly. So The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knows what's going on, yet he knows he has all power and authority in his hands. Imagine somebody knowing they have all power, yet they still invite the enemy to the table. Jesus knows right now I can flip this table upside down. But he said, come on in the room, Judas. Take a seat. Have a seat. If you want, you can sit right next to me. Because the Lord, God himself, prepared a table just for you and me to sit at. And for witnesses, matter of fact. See, there's witnesses in your life that are watching every single thing. Watching the enemy. Watching what not to do. People in your life that are around you can be able to see what not to do in your life. Okay? So, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he knew he was about his Father's business. You got to be about your Father's business. We got to be about our Father's business, that nothing on this earth bothers us, because we know, okay, I'm here for only a time such as this, and I'm returning back to my Father in heaven if I'm doing the right thing. If I'm loving the way I'm supposed to and loving God first and doing the right thing, I'm going back to my Father. I came here by my Father. I'm going to return to my Father. Okay, so that is what Jesus had in mind. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. Okay, he hinting to Judas, though not every one of you is clean. So you got to know, you got to have enough discernment to see your circle and say, everybody okay, you good, you good, you good. Hold on, we got an enemy in a circle. That don't mean dismiss your enemy, because the Lord, God ain't dismissed them. But that means you have to be wise and play your parts well and say, I'm looking at you. Okay, you got to know that you know that the devil is creeping, okay? Because it's not the person, it's the devil using the person. So you got to be wise enough to say, I got my eyes on you. I'm going to watch your every move. But I'm not going to treat you any different, because I have to be wise, because the Lord is watching me. So Jesus answered, for he knew he was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I done for you. Very truly I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. A servant serves. Sometimes you got to serve at your own table. Come on, somebody. The Lord prepared that table for you to serve at your own table. He didn't prepare that table for you to brag and boast. He didn't prepare that table for you to post it all on social media and say, look what the Lord has done, and not welcome the very people that need to know what the Lord has done. He didn't do that for you to open your mouth and on social media, but not in real life. Y'all, we have to learn to understand that God is not just the God on social media, but God is that God in real life. So if we want our enemies to see, some of us block our enemies. We can't block what God is trying to show that he has done, okay? But also, you cannot just be that person, that Christian on social media showing what God has done, but don't welcome the enemy in your presence in real life. Because yes, you could say love them from a distance. Jesus loved them at the table that was prepared for him. You got to learn to love your enemies in the same presence as you, not just on social media for them to like or talk about. No. Your love has to be in real life. That's not love bragging and boasting on the media. That's not love. That's attention seeking. That's pride. That's arrogance. And God is not where that is. So we have to learn to say, okay, let me humble myself. Let me humble myself. What you going to say if your enemy say I need a ride in their new car? I don't have a ride home. I just don't. Now, that also means be wise and have understanding and discernment. Don't let everybody in your car. That's not what I'm saying. Don't let everybody in your house. But I'm saying that God does not dismiss people that quickly. You have to be wise. You have to discern. You have to love. And I mean real love. Love that never fails. Love that is unconditional. Love that doesn't go based off emotions or circumstances, because God loves you. He doesn't switch up on you when you change on him. He don't do wrong for wrong. His mercies is new. You got to wake up and have new mercies for everyone around you to say, the Lord, he let me see another day, so I'm going to let somebody else make it today, because you don't have no choice anyway. You're not their God. Thank you. So that's mercy. Okay, so Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Serve at your table, y'all. Serve. Be a servant at your own table. Don't try to serve at everybody else's table and not serve at your own. Don't run from your own table. You serve. The Lord placed you to be the host. Amen. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed. What is them? You will be blessed if you serve at your table. You will be blessed if you be a servant and serve your enemy. You will be blessed if you pray for those that persecute you. You will be blessed if you love those that talk about you, that slander your name. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. There's a blessing with your name written on it behind obedience. Obedience. All disobedience is sin. And sin leads to death. And we don't want to die in our sin. Jesus died for us to not die in our sin, y'all. So, we have to do the right things. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. You got to speak. You got to speak to the crowd, the people that are watching you. Say, I know who I've chosen to be in my circle. But I'm going to let everybody be in my circle. Because, see, and it's so crazy because society always says one thing. Society says follow your heart. Your heart is the thing that deceives you, okay? Society also says not to let everybody in your circle. But we see right here clearly Jesus says, no, come on, everybody in a circle. Everybody, I'm going to speak to the nations. Now, granted, he had wisdom to know when to do that, when not to do that. So we also have to do the same thing. But he said, come on, I'm going to let Judas on in at this table. Y'all see this. Everybody going to see this. I'm going to welcome him on in. I'm going to show him what real love looks like. I'm going to show him what real peace looks like. And in the end, he's going to know my Father in heaven. But this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. So what does that mean when that says to be a servant at your own table? Break bread with everybody, not just those that you love. But Jesus said, he who shared my bread has turned against me. Yes, people are going to turn against you. Yes, people that you share with. Yes, people that you welcomed in your house. Yes, people that you welcomed in your heart. They're going to break bread with you and they're going to still hurt you, but you still have to love them nevertheless. Nevertheless, you still have to love them. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send, it accepts me. And whoever accepts me, accepts the one who sent me. So people that accept you, accept the one who sent you. Because we accept Jesus, so we accept God, right? We have to accept the both of them and the Holy Spirit. But even when it comes to you, when people accept you, they accept God because they accept the God that's in you. So if they're not accepting you, you don't want to be the reason that they're not accepting you. You don't want to be the reason that, you know, you're blocking somebody else's obedience. You're blocking somebody else's deliverance. You're blocking somebody else's salvation for your selfishness because you have so much hate in your heart and you can't show them the love that God is calling you to love. God is calling us to a higher standard of love, y'all. He really is, for us to show our enemies, okay, this is his love. So after he had said this, Jesus had trouble in his spirit and testified, very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. He's speaking to the enemy. One of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another. And the reason why he had to say this is because he had to let it be known. Let's not miss that. He had to let it be known. I know who is going to betray me. because sometimes the enemy can make it, like, say if all the disciples was near and they was like, okay, Jesus didn't even know. Oh, Jesus didn't even know who was going to betray him. Jesus didn't know who was going to turn him. No. Jesus saying, I know exactly who it is, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. I know because I'm the Lord. So he's letting it known that I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to wash your feet. I'm still going to break bread with you. I'm still going to invite you to the table. Do y'all see why everything that Jesus says is for a reason. He's not just saying that to be petty, because sometimes we can say things like, oh yeah, I know. I already know. I already know how you get down. I already know that you've been talking about me. I already know. How do I know? I used to be that person that had to let people know that I know something that they don't know. Like if y'all ever know, y'all ask somebody if they lied and they act like they ain't lied, but you already know they lied. They done lied to you. They done betrayed you. So I used to be that person that used to be like, yeah, I'm going to let you know that you lied. But it's not to be petty. He's saying that to say, I know that you lied. I know that you betrayed me. I know that you talked about me. I know that you exposed me. I know that you stole from me. And I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to love all of that up out of you. I'm still going to show you what it's like to have peace in the midst of knowing. In the midst of knowing. He's not saying that to be petty and throw that all over the place. He's saying it to say, in the midst of knowing all of that, in the midst of knowing that your manager was trying to get rid of you, in the midst of knowing that your mother and father abandoned you, in the midst of knowing that you were sexually assaulted, in the midst of knowing that you were abused, mentally abused, physically abused, in the midst of knowing these things, in the midst of knowing all of that, y'all, in the midst of knowing what a pastor did behind closed doors, in the midst of knowing if your mother cheated, your father cheated, in the midst of knowing all these things, in the midst of knowing that those aren't your parents, I don't know. I'm calling it all out on the table today, y'all, because I want us to all be healed and saved and for us to know God is still calling to a higher standard of love. It does not feel good, but the Bible says you will be blessed if you become a servant and serve those that are in the midst of your presence. You can't expect to do this and not be blessed by it. No, God is going to bless you above measures, above what your hands can handle. Overflow, that cup runneth over, oil runneth over. He's going to give you an overflow if you are obedient. That overflow at that table is not just for you, it's for everyone around you. For everyone around you to be saved, for everyone around you to be delivered, for everyone around you to get some of that oil, holy oil. Not just oil to cook up something that you want to cook. I'm talking about real holy oil that can flow, that reaches from the highest mountain to the lowest valley, that never runs out, that is in the good, that is in the bad, that is in the pretty, that is in the ugly, that is in the up, that is in the down. Okay? That is the love that God is calling us to. That is the peace that God is calling us to. And when we make it there, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. So his disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter mentioned to this disciple and asked, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Hold on, wait a minute. He's saying, this the one right here. I'm going to break bread to him. You're going to see I'm going to feed him real good. And you're going to see how I'm loving him. Even though I already know this, I just need you to see. Okay? Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Okay. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. It's scary. I'm sorry. I've been saying that name wrong. I'm sorry. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Y'all, this blessed my soul. This is why Jesus, the Holy Spirit, poured this to me, this scripture. He wanted me to read. I wasn't going to read all of this. I was just going to give it to y'all based off like my memory. But he said, no, read it out. Jesus told him, whatever you are about to do, do it quickly. Let me go to my notes so I can make it plain and simple, okay? The table will either do two things for you. The table will either do two things for your enemies. Either it will influence them or it will intimidate them. You can't be the reason as to why your enemies didn't sit at the table the Lord placed before you. Sometimes we get in the way of God getting glory. The Lord placed that table before you, not for you, but for the people around you to see, for him to get the glory, okay? The blessings God gives us is not just for us. It is for us, but it's also for the people around us to see what he has done, for him to get glory, not for you, not for your works, not for your bachelor's degree, not for your master's degree, not for every other degree, not for your job, not for your discipline with money, not for any of that. Not for your hard work, no. Because hard work doesn't get you into heaven. You can work, 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 and still not make it into the kingdom because your heart is so bad. So we have to make sure that we are allowing God to get the glory, but it will either influence them or intimidate them. So nothing we have is for ourselves, but for God to get glory. Don't be the reason God can't use you to save everyone. Not just the people you love. You don't have true patience until you can sit at the same table with your enemies. We say we have patience until we have to sit in the same table as our enemies, until we're in the same presence as our enemies. Then patience is tested. Love is tested. The fruit of the Spirit is tested. See, we like to say we have the fruit until it's actually tested when it has to be, not just when we're comfortable when it's being tested. So we don't carry the true love of God if we don't want to see our enemies eat at the table God prepared for us. Because the goal is to share the food for the soul that Jesus promised us. This is so, y'all know how the Bible says, right? And if you don't know, I'm letting you know, the Bible says that Jesus, the water that he gives us, the food that he gives us, it nourishes us, okay? We'll never hunger again. We'll never thirst again. He is the living water, right? We have to want to share that living water with our enemies, y'all. That same thing that helps our soul, that saves our soul, that keeps our soul living, we should want our enemies to live. You can't wish bad on your enemies, y'all. You can't do that. You can't pray for the downfall. You can't pray for the death. Lord Jesus, I pray against every person that is speaking bad on their enemies. Y'all, you have to love your enemies because God loves you. The very second we can pray bad on somebody else is the very second somebody's praying bad on us. And God is just like, come on, I got both of you here on this earth for a reason, for me to get the glory, says the Lord. Not for you, not for them, not for anybody. But you can't be the reason. You can't stand in the way of their deliverance and their salvation. You got to love them to their salvation. You got to share that food. You can't be selfish. You got to share that food. You got to allow them to eat. This is why Jesus broke that bread. Because he said, I am the living water. I am the living word. I am the living bread. I am everything you need. I am fulfilling every need and desire. Not just for you, but for your enemies as well. You'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. You got to share that with them. They don't know that. They may not know that. They may not open their word. If you're going to be a Bible for everybody. For everybody to read. Everybody. Even a dog. Even the animals. Everybody got to get you. Everybody get you some. Get you some. Okay. Everybody got to get them some. Okay. God cleansed them with the very food that you share with them, for the very table that he prepared for you. You can't be selfish with the table that God prepared for you. He prepared it for you for a reason. Don't be selfish with your blessings. Either they will stay and eat the food good for their soul, or they will carry the weight of their flesh and leave because they were not ready. Clearly, we see right here, Judas, he couldn't handle it. He already knew. He had his mind made up. Yes, people around you are going to change on you. Yes, people around you already got their mind made up to switch on you. Yes, people around you already got a bad heart. We know that. But you can't be the reason that they don't even have a chance to see God's love. You give them that choice because Jesus gives you a choice. You give them a choice. But be wise in your choices, okay? Don't be too good to not let God use the table he prepared for you. But they're going to either be exposed, they're going to be either intimidated, or they're going to want to join. They're going to want to join it. And I'm going to get further into that because I have another person, Peter. We're going to talk about that. But the goal is to draw people to God always. You should not get the credit for what God has done. Make it your daily goal to draw someone to Christ, not yourself. If you're going to draw people, You're going to draw them to God, not yourself. And I'm still having to, you know, remember this because I'm like, no, I don't want glory. I don't want people being drawn to me. If they're going to be drawn to me, they need to be drawn to the God that's in me. Not me. It has nothing to do with me. But sometimes we can take credit for what God has done. And God is like, no, send them back to me. Give it back to me. Everything you get, give it back to me. This is why that 10% matters. That's not just 10% of money. That's 10% in everything. Give God the first fruit of your labor because he's deserving of it. Give him back what he gave to you because he's deserving of it. People should be following the God in you. There's purpose in your following. There's purpose in those that monitor you. A lot of us don't like what people are watching us or people are staring at us or people are, you know, monitoring us. It's called a monitoring spirit. And sometimes it's not good, right? But if people are monitoring, people are watching you, just give my little a few eyes here and there because he know, okay, I got people watching me. I'm gonna make sure I don't make the wrong move. I'm gonna make sure that every step that I take, okay, Proverbs says to be mindful of your feet, every path that you are taking, because people are watching you, people are trying to see, people are studying. Do you know people are studying your heart? People are studying your actions. People are studying the way you respond to things. And you can be the reason that you respond the incorrect way. And now people have the right to compare you to the devil. They have the right to compare you to themselves. They have the right to compare it to Satan because you're treating them as such instead of treating them as the Christian that you are. Because Judas would have been quick to, y'all, oh, this is so good. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Imagine if Judas was never invited to the table. Imagine if Jesus said, you know what? Judas, you can't eat at this table. I'm about to die. And I don't want you at the table because you're going to be the reason why I die. And so you just won't come. Matter of fact, if you come, you can come. I just won't feed you. You just won't eat nothing at my table. I ain't going to break no bread with you. And then Judas could have went back and told everybody, y'all, he's a false prophet. He's a hypocrite. He don't know what he's talking about. He's a liar. The truth is not in him. But instead, Jesus exposed the truth was not in him because he felt bad after he did what he did because Jesus still showed love. But he could have went and told the whole story. He was already a liar, but he could have went and, I mean, ran it. But Jesus didn't give him a reason to run it. You can't give the devil a reason to run with your heart. You got to say, for God I live, for God I die. And I'm going to show the devil that also. I'm going to show the devil I'm not playing. I'm going to show the devil that I can love even the people that he tries to use because it's not them. It's the devil. Okay? It's the devil. Okay, so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, says, Let your light shine. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the reason why you're supposed to let your light shine. That is why you're supposed to let your love shine. That is why you're supposed to let your peace shine. So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It is not for you to get glory. It's not for them to say, oh, Alicia just does so good loving people. Alicia is just so sweet. Alicia's just so kind. No, it's for them to say, wow, there's a God that she serves through the good and the bad, through the pretty and the ugly. That is the God that we want people to serve, okay? For them to see, I'm going to praise that same God. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she's doing it, but I want to praise that same God. That is the goal, y'all. That is the intentions that we have to have behind our table that God is preparing for us. Who is supposed to be at your table will either sit with you and glorify God with you or they won't. Real power is letting the God in you change an enemy to a friend. That is what you call power from the Holy Spirit. An enemy becoming a friend. Okay, how do we know this? Because we was once an enemy to Jesus when we were stuck in our sin. We was an enemy to God. It was not until God said, I'm going to send my son to die for you so that you can get to me. Because right now you can't get to me. Your sin has caused you to separate from me. And that is what hell is. If you go to hell, that's eternal separation from God. We don't want that because that is going to be miserable. But, you know, God sent Jesus to say, I don't want nobody to have eternal separation. So I'm going to send my son to die for everybody. I'm going to send my son to die for those who want to receive it and to accept it. We were once enemies. So we have to understand that if we were once enemies and God sent Jesus for us to be a friend to him now, we got to learn to have that same power to say, you know what? We got to learn to convince our enemies in their mind to say, wow, they're such a good person. I want to be around them. I want that. I want whatever they have, whatever that glory is, whatever that glow is about them. It's just something about them. I want that same thing. I want to worship that same God that has been blessing, that has been keeping them, that has been guiding them, that has been leading them, that has been restoring them, that has been healing them, that has been saving them. They need to know the God that saved you. That saved you from the car accident, that saved you from cancer, that saved you from that diagnosis, that saved you from mental illness, that saved you. They need to know that same Savior. So why be selfish with the table that God prepared for you in the presence of your enemies? Because it might just be you that helped save your enemies in the time of their cancer, in the time of their sickness, in the time of their car accidents, for them to say, oh, Alicia went through the same thing, but God used her, so I know God is going to use me. But you blocked them. You blocked them so they couldn't even see what God can do. Even though you beefed with that person in high school, when it come down to it, and they see that you become a doctor, you became a lawyer, you became their physician, you became their dentist, you became their realtor, I'm sorry. Whatever you became, when they see that, they're going to realize, you know what? I want to worship that same God. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it. See, I didn't like them back then, but I want to be where they at right now. And not to envy or to be jealous, but for them to realize and see the good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing, not a thing to do with you for that, the reason that God is blessing you. So this is why Jesus tells us to love our enemies, because little do you know, your love can be what changes them. But Jesus still had discernment to know how to love them. That was enough to not set him back to their level. You still have to be wise to know, I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to turn back to the, I'm not going to go back to what, I'm not going to stoop on your level and do what you do. I'm not going to do that because I got real love. So I'm not going to treat you. Love is not treating people how they treated you. That's not love. That's not love. That is hate. We're going to just put it out there, tell it what it is. That's not love. Love is saying, I'm going to treat you better than how you treat me, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what you do. But you still got to be wise and to let them go when they want to go. What do I mean? Jesus said, okay, do whatever you got to do. Judas, go ahead and take care of your business. I know what time it is. I know you already got your mind made up. I'm going to let you do it. We can't keep people. Now, I'm not just saying let your enemies in your life and not let them go. No, what I'm saying is don't be the reason they can't get to their salvation. But if they're showing you who they are, let them go do whatever it is that they need to, whatever they got their mind set on. That is why God prepares the table, not for you to brag or boast, but for your enemies to be saved, okay? Don't pray on their downfall. Pray that them sitting at your table will change them or allow them to leave, because you don't want them. This is what I'm saying. You don't want them to continue to use you. That's wisdom, to pray continually. So you want them to change, right? And if they're not changing, you have to let them go. You want them to change. You don't want to stop them from change or being saved. But if they're not changing, you have to let them go. Now, if they come back, that's another story for another day. But we're going to talk about it anyway, because Peter came back. Jesus, hold on. Let's go to that scripture real quick. Let's go to that scripture real quick, y'all. This is so good. This is so good. So later on in John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter asks, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? When Jesus asks us the questions, it's not because he wants to see what we're going to say. It's because he already know the answer. So yes, actually, he does want to see what we're going to say because he knows the answer. But he said, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Once again, Jesus is saying, You're gonna betray me, Peter. You're gonna betray me. As close as you think you are to me, you're gonna betray me. There's gonna be people that betray you. The difference with Peter is, though, Peter still came back to Jesus. He still came back to Jesus because he loved him so much, and Jesus still loved him enough to receive him back. So you can't be the one to say, oh, you know, once it's done, it's done. Once it's over, it's over. Once they leave my life, that's it. Once I see they switch up on me, that's it. Bible. What is Jesus doing? He's allowing his mercy and his grace and his love for people to say, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to show you what it looks like to love and to love correctly. He has set the Peter back because he knew Peter made a mistake, but Peter actually wanted salvation. Peter actually wanted to do the right thing. And when somebody is showing you that, don't neglect that. Don't be weird. Don't be hurtful, because it's actually going to expose you in the end that you don't have the heart like you say you do. Don't do that. Don't do that, because God loves you. God loves you when you came back to him and you disowned him many, 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 many times. So we have to love like Christ loved, okay? So that's the difference between Judas and Peter. So give them a choice with love like God gave you a choice. You can't take that choice and block them before God gives them a choice. But once they choose and God shows you, you have to let them go. God knows pure hearts and pure motives, but it's not still for you to brag. It's not for you to talk about them. It's not for you to bring up their wrongdoings. Jesus wasn't going around saying, Judas. He left it alone. He said, you know what had to happen? For me to show the whole world that I'm going to be the savior. Jesus had to let everything. You got to let things in your life play. But you can't be harmful or hurtful and expose your true heart, your true motives, because you don't have the real love that God is calling for us to, you know, love. But this doesn't mean let people at your table that will cause you to sin. Know the difference. If somebody is doing something, like if you're letting people around you that are thieves, that are, you know, all type of, that are killers, murderers, that's not what I'm telling you, okay? Unless you can help change their life around. If you know they ain't changing, let it go. If you see there's no change, let it go before it changes you or it does something to you. You have to let it go, because Jesus didn't hold back and say, Judas, no, please, please don't do this to me. Please, I beg you, don't change up on me. He said, go ahead. Take care. Whatever you got to do, you got it, dog. It's in your hands. But I allowed you to see what real love looks like. Okay, so you have to let go what God is calling you to let go. So, but some want to sit at the table to change you. And that is why you have to have enough oil that overflows. Back to that oil. I told y'all we're going to bring it all together, but it's going to be bits and pieces. Like, I want to focus on that, but we're going to go back to that oil. It says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That overflow is not for you to brag or boast. That overflow is not to do what you want with it. That overflow is genuinely for it to flow to everyone else around you. God gonna keep, you don't want your oil to run out, but God's gonna keep pouring so that you can pour to others. We want overflow in our life to share with others, not to be stingy, not to keep and hold on to whatever we want to keep and hold on to. They need that same love and that same goodness and that same joy. They need that too. You don't want to not share what God is calling you to share. Surely your goodness and love will follow me. It's following you so that the people that follow you can see that it's following you. You should want to attract, because if God is showing that his love will follow you forever, goodness will follow you forever, then you have to know that people can see that. And it's like a stream. When they hop in that stream, baby, it should change them too. Come on, y'all hop in this stream. It should change them too. But if you can't keep up with the stream, you can't keep up with the flow, you got to move. You got to go. And when you're ready, come let me know. But that's not to say, not to welcome everybody. Jesus welcomed everyone. He died for everybody, even your enemies. So we have to learn to be mindful still, to still discern, to let them go, but to not save them from what God is trying to do for them. Amen. Okay, y'all, I got one more scripture for y'all. One more. Matthew 25, verse 1-13. It says, oops, hold on, let me get back to it, y'all. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil. Buy some for yourselves." I'm going to say it again. No, they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the hour or the day." Okay, so a lot of times people use this scripture. Like, you can use the Bible for so many different things. You get different revelations for different seasons. They use the scripture to say, you know, be ready for at all times. Have enough oil, you know, to be ready. Stay ready. But also, with the Lord, the reason why the Lord gave me this scripture for this is because when I say you have to know how much oil is in your tank, you have to know how much oil you have to give. Jesus knew exactly the love he had to give. He knew exactly the oil he had to give. Because when I say be wise and discern, you don't want to just be pouring and pouring to people. And then you run out and you don't have nothing to give to yourself. You have to know the oil that you have is enough to give. The 5 were wise enough to know they didn't have enough oil. You got to know to say, okay, I don't have enough oil for that right now. I can't allow this many people in my circle. I can't allow this many people to be around me. I don't have it. If you just don't have it, you have to be honest with yourself and say you just don't have it. But you can't be forcing something and not being wise enough to have discernment enough to know, I can't let this person in my circle. This not the one. Even though I love, I'm going to have to love them until God fills my cup again. You got to know when you got overflow of oil. But if you don't got overflow, you can't share it. Be wise in your sharing. Be wise. That don't mean be stingy. That don't mean cut it all off. That mean be wise, because God will give you that overflow. God will allow you to sit the presence of your enemies, but you have to still be wise and discern and know when God is calling you to it and when he's calling you out of it, when he's calling you through it, and when he's saying, not right now. I'm fixing you right now. I'm healing you. I'm helping you right now. Because there was many times Jesus still had to be alone. He had a certain amount of oil he had to carry to be around Judas. And that's why it hurted him so bad, but he still had the strength. He still had it in him to do it. We can't be so foolish now. We still got to be wise and discern. So if you see that they're causing friction, commotion, sin, you have to let them go, because their mind is made up. Jesus didn't hold Jesus from going to Judas to go do what his mind was already set on. He loved him enough to let him sit in the midst until he knew he had to release him. But he didn't take away the choice of experiencing the goodness of God, even after knowing he would betray him. Jesus even had enough love to let Peter back into his presence after denying him 3 times. That was a form of betrayal. Yet the grace of God will keep you in his presence, but it's not until you come across Jesus. It takes 2. It has to be in the betrayer's heart to come back, and it has to be Jesus to allow him to come back. It has to be you to allow that person to come back. You have to allow that person to show the goodness that God has done for them, the change that God has done for them. Jesus didn't withhold anybody from coming back to him. I don't know if y'all watched The Chosen, but even when Mary slipped up, he went to go, he made sure Mary got back on track. it was many times people like did him wrong, but he didn't keep that choice away. If you, God never takes away that choice ever. And we have to remember our goal is to be like Christ, to not take that choice away from men. Now that don't mean, like I said, to let people use you and neglect you. You got to be wise. You got to know when your oil is running out. But when God gives you that oil, when God gives you that table, you better serve. You better know how to serve, okay? So, it is up to you if you want to let them back in. And it's up to them if they want to change. And it's up to you if you want to help your enemies get to where they need. Don't talk about your enemies. Pray for them. That's why the Bible says pray for them. Pray for their deliverance. Pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord changes and help heal their heart. You know they're going through a hard time. You know everything. If you was friends with somebody, you know everything they went through. You know their parents neglected them. You know all the trauma they went through. Don't expose them. Pray for them. Help them get to where you trying to get. Help them to get to where you already at. Don't talk about them because that exposes the heart and where you really are and where you really stand with God. Don't say, oh, they deserve it. There could have been many times God said, you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. He didn't do that, though. He didn't do that. So we can't do that to other people. So I say all of this to say everything works together for the good of those that love him. It's going to all work out for everybody. That is the love, y'all, that we are supposed to have to want to see everybody work out. The good work out for everybody. Work out for your family. Work out for your coworkers. Work out for your management. Work out for your lovers and your exes and your brothers and your sisters and your cousins and your everybody. Everybody. Okay? The dog. I don't care if it was a bear, a lion, a tiger. Lion, tigers, and bears. Oh my, everybody come get you some of this salvation. That is the love we ought to have. Your neighbors. Everybody. I don't care how many times your neighbors get on your nerve. Have that love. Have that love. And I don't know why I just feel the need to say this, but somebody that is abusing you, don't get that mixed up. I'm not saying keep letting them in your circle. You know they're abusing you. You know they ain't changed. Don't do that. And if you ain't seen change, don't let them back in. There's a certain amount of oil you have to be wise and to know. There's a discernment that you have to have Christ with you. If you don't have Christ with you, if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost to save you from abuse, don't let that in, okay? Don't let that around you. Don't be wise. Don't let somebody just spit on you, mistreat you, and throw you around. No, you have to leave the atmosphere. That is negative. That is dangerous. That is terrible. Oil, wisdom, discernment, Christ. But what I am saying is for those that are not to that extent, that actually want change in their life, that actually are changing and not just wanting change, they say out their mouth they won't change, but they're not changing, their heart is not changing, you have to let it go. You have to let it go. So, I hope y'all enjoyed this message. I know I did, y'all. This blessed my soul. This was good to me. Like, it was, I know it was so much. I apologize for it being so long. Not really. Apologize, don't apologize. But the Lord was just flowing. I mean, the notes was going crazy. And I was like, God, this is so good. I have to pour it. I have to give it to others. I have to show others. So I really do hope that this blessed your soul. We're going to say a quick prayer because I really want the Lord to work in your life. Concerning your enemies, concerning your table, I pray that the blessings of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow in your life. So, Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you that we're learning to love our enemies to another level, to another extent. Father, I thank you that you're giving us the oil that we need, oil that overflows, oil that is not just for us, but for everybody around us. True power to love how you have called us to love. True power to break bread, Father, to break bread because you broke bread, Jesus. You broke bread with your enemies. You show what it is to love, the definition of love. Lord God, that you can love the hate right out of people. You can show the joy that people need, that people desire. And I just thank you, Father. I pray that the people hearing this, I pray that they receive it, Father, that they don't, Lord God, harden their hearts. But Father, may you soften their hearts to hear, to receive, to love correctly, to do what is required of them. Father, I thank you that they are receiving. I thank you that there shall be a change. I call a change to come forth now in the name of Jesus. I speak it and declare it because you are love. You are love, and I thank you that it is so, because where two or three are gathered, we are gathered here today in your name, Jesus. Lord God, trying to do right, trying to get it together. Father, we want to be perfect people. We strive. We are trying to strive for perfection, to see your face, to turn from our wicked ways. Father, we want to be an example. We want to be set apart. And we thank you for the blessings that are on the way for obedience. Father, we thank you for preparing the table, not for us to be selfish, but for us to share, to be servants, to serve. Father, and when we want our hands to make our own table, Father, you take our hands off of it. You prepare that table, Father, wherever you need or want to prepare it, Father. And don't let us put our hands in so much, Lord God, that we miss what you're trying to do for us, God. Lord God, that you may get the glory. Let people see our good works, that you may get the glory, not that we may get the glory, not that they may get the glory, Lord God, but you will get the glory. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor and praise. I plead the blood of Jesus over the minds of your people. I plead the blood of Jesus over their hearts, that no one will neglect and use their heart, neglect and use their love, neglect and use their actions for trying to do better, for trying to live in the things of you. But Father, I pray that you fight their battles. Father, you fight on their behalf. God, you take the sword and slay the enemy, Lord God, that is trying to keep them back in their wicked ways, that is trying to keep them in the past, that is trying to keep them in such a terrible mentality to do others how they have been done, how they have been treated. Father, we rebuke the lies of the enemy. They have to die now, today, in the name of Jesus. Not by my name, not by my might, Father, but by your power, by your spirit, Father. I declare it so, and I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Listen, I love y'all. I pray y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. I'm not sure when the next word will come. I don't know if it'll be next Wednesday, like the Wednesday coming up after this, or the Wednesday after that. I'm trying to find me a good schedule, but I know it's on the way, y'all. I know consistency is here. I just don't know how often. But y'all stay tuned. I love y'all. Be blessed. Keep the Lord in your presence. Let me know if I can do anything for you. If there's anything, if I can pray for any one of y'all, reach out to me. Reach out to me by social media, the_AliciaArnold with two E's in the. Whatever I can do, y'all. I'm just trying to be a servant. If you feel like this is something you're struggling with, y'all, I'm your sister in Christ. I can't promise to just like be your savior and just give you all the information, but I can show you who can. I can lead you back to God. I can point you back to God. Okay. So if you ever need help, we're supposed to be in this together. You're not alone. Whatever you're battling, I'm battling too. We're battling together. The things that I share with y'all is something that I'm trying to overcome myself, if I haven't already overcame it. So you're not alone. I love y'all. Y'all be blessed, and I will see y'all the next time. Yeah.